We are visiting with Clinton County Elections Commissioner Eric Van Lankern. Eric, elections are coming up. Maybe we'll start at the beginning. Start with absentee ballots first. We talk about those. How's an absentee ballot process work? We're getting close to the election. Can we still do the absentee ballot voting?
Yes, Dave, thanks. You can still vote absentee. A couple different ways you can do that is in-person absentee, which means you can come up to the county auditor's office during our regular business hours and fill out an absentee ballot request, and then we give you a ballot and you take it over the voting booth and you vote it and put it in your envelope and then you're done. Another way that you can vote absentee is you fill out an absentee ballot request form. You drop it off in my office, you mail it to my office, and then we will send a ballot to your home that you can vote. Then you vote that ballot, seal it up in the envelope, and send it back to us, and then we'll count absentee ballots on election day. You do need to fill out an absentee ballot request form for every election. We've had that question a lot. Folks think, maybe they got an absentee ballot earlier this year for the primary or for our special county bond referendum. That doesn't go for the whole year. You have to fill out a new form for every election.
When you do all this, there's some safeguards mailed back, some safeguards built in there, so especially if somebody gets it mailed, that it goes to a person and that person's the one who fills it out. Is there any safeguards built in there?
What we have for that is that the person, we have a signature line on the return envelope, which is also the affidavit envelope. So on that affidavit envelope, when you sign that, it says you're this person and you voted this ballot and you sign your name to that.
And if any questions come up, you've got all that, you keep all that.
We have all the proof. We actually have to keep everything for a general election for up to 22 months after the election in case anything comes up. I also wanted to mention, as far as absentee balloting, that you can also absentee in DeWitt at the county satellite office on Saturday, October 22nd from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. and then Thursday, October 27th from 1 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. And that's in-person absentee balloting, just like if you went up to the county administration building in Clinton.
This is all an effort to, I guess, more and more emphasis on the absentee balloting to get that done. Kind of a growing emphasis on that, just try to make it easier for folks by even getting out to the DeWitt office, something that's been new in the last two or three cycles.
Yeah, correct. Satellite voting, it's called satellite voting, and it's been offered in Iowa for quite some time. Now that we have our facility out there, we're able to run it very easily, just as if we were at the counter at the auditor's office in Clinton. And we've seen absentee balloting increase almost every general election we've had for the last 10 years now. So this is just, people have said this is what they want. They find it easier to vote than going on election day. It's usually the lines aren't as long as they are on election day. People can take more time with their ballot. Again, the same goes for the people that have it sent at home. When I talk to people about why they vote absentee at home, because honestly, I'm a traditionalist. I still like to go to my polling place and vote. But the folks that want to vote absentee, they like that they feel like they can take more time with the ballot. You know, they're not pressured when they're in the polling place and there's people waiting in line to either vote their ballot or just to get checked in, which is still fairly minimal, fortunately, here in Clinton County. But, you know, that's part of the aspect of it. And then they like to vote at home because they like to look up the issues and the candidates, you know, on the internet. They sit there with their laptop and they look up candidates and fill in their ballot. So, you know, informed voters, that's great. That's what we're looking for.
We're still a number of days away. You know, open the envelopes, but how is a stack of absentee balloting envelopes compared to other years? If you have a total, fine, but we see more or less so far, or is it a little slower this year?
It's a little slower this year. It definitely started slower than the last two general elections, and that includes the 2 years ago, the gubernatorial, and then 4 years previous, the presidential. At those two generals, we sent out well over 3,000 in the what we call the first batch of absentee ballots that we could send out according to the timing of how we can send those out. This year we were just barely over 2,000. So to us, we started already, I mean, a good 1,000 behind. The last 2 weeks, it's picked up as far as people requesting to have them sent to their homes. And we've seen a little bit more traffic come up to our counter to vote absentee, too. So I'd say, actually, where we expected to be at this time, I'd say we're still, around 1,000 off what we expected.
Okay, now we get to the election day coming up in November. Walk us through. I walk in my precinct office. We'll get to how we find the precinct in a minute.
Okay, thank you.
I go to my precinct. Walk me through what happens. I walk in the door. What happens?
So on election day, your polling locations are going to be open from 7 a.m. to 9 p.m. And you'll go into your polling location. At the front of the process, we're going to ask you to fill out what's called a declaration of eligibility, which is basically you signing that this is your name and this is your address, and you sign it. And then you take that over to a precinct election official who's sitting there with the electronic poll book, and they're going to check you in. When they check you in, they're just going to double check that the information that you put on your declaration eligibility. They're going to check that you are in the correct precinct. If you're not, we have the ability to print out a sheet of paper then that would instruct a person what precinct they need to vote at. And then after they do that, they go through the process. Okay, we're going to issue them the ballot for their precinct, and they're going to go vote that ballot, and then they'll take it over to the optical scan machine and place the ballot in the optical scan machine. So a couple things in between there, when the voter goes up to the precinct election official, they'll have a couple of options. They'll hand the declaration eligibility with their name, and our precinct election officials can just type in the name and look them up that way. We also have these barcode scanners that people can use their Iowa driver's license or a non-Iowa driver's license ID, or their voter registration card, which is issued from my office. All of those have barcodes, and they could scan those barcodes, and it helps us just a little bit more efficiently and more accurately find those folks in the books. But let me note that those are not required. If you're already a registered regular voter, you don't need to have your driver's license or your non-driver's license Iowa ID or even that voter registration card. We can find you by just searching your name.
So that's the question. I know there've been the voter ID laws that have been discussed. You don't need an ID to vote.
If you're a regular registered voter, you don't need that. If you are not registered and you want to do election day registration,
that's the next question.
Okay. If you are not a registered voter, as of 5 p.m. On October 29th, so you can register for the general election. What's called pre-registration deadline. You can register before October 29th at 5 p.m. and you're good to go. If you do not, Iowa has election day registration, which allows a voter to register and vote at their polling location on the same day. However, to do that, you will need some identification then if you have to register. So you're going to have to prove your identity through a photo ID. And you're also going to have to prove your residency. So the best one-stop to do that would be if you had a driver's license that is not expired, that has your updated photo on it and your new address or your address where you're at. We can just use that for both of those to prove your residency and that it's you. What we see a lot is that people move, they still have a driver's license that we could use to prove their ID, but the address isn't the same. So they would need to prove their residency with another document. And what they could use for that is a utility bill or a property tax statement or a bank statement or any government sort of check that has their name and then that new address on it. Or they could also have someone attest for them. So if you moved into the neighborhood and your next door neighbor who knows you've been there, they could, that person could actually say, yeah, I know that person lives there, and they will sign an affidavit stating that they know this, that's where that person lives.
I want to back up to the, we get to the voting process, and you've heard it, we've all heard it, the concern about the promotion almost, so there's concern about the election being rigged. When you vote and your ballot's counted, and I know people who have voted before says, you do have poll workers there, but they don't even handle your ballot. You are the only one who actually handles your ballot. You mentioned the counting machine. You put it in there. Nobody touches the ballot from you. That's maybe one validation that your ballot's not being tampered with.
Absolutely. Again, so you get checked in, and then you go down to the end of the table, and the precinct election official will hand you the ballot. Before they hand you the ballot, you'll see a little line on the bottom of that ballot, and a precinct election official does have to initial at the bottom of that ballot for every ballot that we hand out. And then after we give the voter the ballot, that's all theirs now. So they will go to the voting booth, they will fill in their selection, and they will take it to the optical scan machine. If a voter has difficulty getting the ballot into the optical scan machine for whatever reason, we do have a precinct election official there, and we train our precinct election officials to explain to the voter what they need to do to get the ballot to feed into the machine without our precinct election official touching the ballot. We also have shields, protective shields, that you can walk your ballot from the polling, or from your ballot booth, from your voting booth, over to the optical scan machine and feed that in there without anyone seeing your marks.
And those ballots are then also kept. If somebody's got a question the next week when you actually the votes come out, I can't believe that's the way it was. You vote on paper, although you do use the numbers out of the machine, the paper is kept.
I think the best thing about the Iowa electoral system, for all sorts of reasons, is that we use a paper ballot system. And what that allows us to do, basically, is if we had to, and we've had a recount in Clinton County before, but if we had to, by an order, what the precinct election officials do at the end of the night is they take those ballots out of the machine and they put them in a white box, and then they seal them with an adhesive sticker over the seal of that box, and they all sign it. And then that seal cannot be broken without an order by the Board of Supervisors. And that only happens when there's a recount that's asked for. But there again, we have those ballots. They were voted by each individual voter. We still have a snapshot of that election in paper ballot form that we can go back to if need be.
Let me get to the end. Says, how are the results report? Obviously, we'll be on the air with the results. You'll have them online. Walk us through that part. The polls close. What do the workers do then?
So the polls close. Let me.
These are things people don't see.
That's true. Which, by the way, the closing of the polls is open to the public if anyone wants to stand around and wait. But usually we have folks that just follow us online or listen to KROS for the results. You talked about the polls, but let me first address the absentee ballots as part of this process. We do count. I know there's some urban myth out there that we don't count absentee ballots unless a race is close or something. I don't know where that ever came from. But I assure you, anyone that votes an absentee ballot, those ballots are counted on election day. Okay? So they're counted on election day, and then they are reported. Actually, that's usually, it's reported kind of as its own precinct. So we actually put those absentee ballot numbers up right away after the polls close. So usually shortly after 9 o'clock, if you're looking at our website, you'll be able to see the absentee results. Okay, so that answers absentee. Then at the polling location, the polls close at 9. Anyone that's clearly in line to vote at 9 o'clock can still go through and vote. All right, so The reason why I tell you that is because this is how sometimes results straggle in, and I know people get impatient, but sometimes there's a process here. If you're at a polling location and 10 people come in at 8:59, we have to administer all of those people to be able to vote, and then they have to take time to vote and cast their ballot, and then we can close the polls down. They will get the polling, the precinct election officials will then close down the optical scan machine, which then prints off a results report, and that'll have all the results from the day that went through that machine, and they will call that into the county auditor's office. We share that information with our IT department, who then updates our website. As those come in, and we have 26 precincts, and again, some are busier than not at the end, and so that's why those stagger in. And it could take, plus we only have so many people, honestly, in my office then at the end of the night to answer the phones, too. So it all gets worked out. Usually, it's an hour, give or take, a little bit more before we hear from everyone, because there's also a lot to report. So we'll have those results up as soon as we possibly can. Again, they're unofficial results, all right? It's not official until we do the canvass a week later. The Board of Supervisors approves the results. Also then at the end of the night, we have all of what we call the media, which is the memory cards that are in the optical scan machines at all the polling places. We also bring those in, and we load those into our computer, and we double check those numbers with the numbers that were called in. Because, you know, sometimes we can have a transposition error or whatever when we're doing it manually when they call it in. And so we update it even further that night.
Well, these polling place machines, there's no internet connection here, so if somebody's worried about hacking the results. The machines in each of these precincts, there's not an internet connection there. There's, if I'm correct.
To be clear, we could have an internet function on the optical scan machines that at the end of the night then would report results straight back to the county auditor's office. However, we do not do that in Clinton County.
Oh, keep going. So there's no way to intercept those?
No, in Clinton County, we are not hooked up to the internet. Those optical scan machines are not hooked up to the internet. The only programming that's in that machine is that media card. It's a thumb drive. And after we do the public tests, those are sealed up, and those seals aren't broken until the end of the night when the precinct election officials take that media out and send it back to my office.
So you're confident when we get done, at least Clinton County and the state of Iowa will be accurate?
We're in good shape in Iowa. We have a wonderful process. We have paper ballots. We have a bipartisan process. I mean, we have Republicans and Democrats at every polling location working. We have poll watchers that are sitting there to monitor. We do training. We have security procedures. We have machine testing that's open to the public. I just love our process in Iowa, and I'm so confident in that process. And again, confident that if we had to go back and do a recount, we have what you wrote down, what you logged on your paper ballot.
Okay, you wanted a quick legal question or process question. Campaigning in or near the polls, give us a quick what you can do. I know some people have talked about that. I don't think it's been a big issue here, but there are certain things you can and can't do.
Yeah, we don't usually have a problem with what we call electioneering in Clinton County. Electioneering being basically campaigning at or near a polling location. So, you really shouldn't be wearing clothing or buttons or anything like that in support of a candidate that's on the ballot when you're going to your polling location. Same thing with having campaign signs and stuff on your car when you go to vote. So basically the rule is you shouldn't have, there's campaigning, electioneering within a 300-foot radius of the polling place door is not allowed. However, the exception to that is private property. So if we have a house that's 100 yards away from a polling location, they have a yard sign, that's allowed.
Eric, I know you make sure we covered anything and everything about election. Do we miss anything you want to make people know about going to vote?
Got a couple of things I want folks to know, because we get this question a lot, is you do not have to fill out the entire ballot for your ballot to be counted. All right, so a lot of folks may not know. What we get a lot is there's judge retention on the it's a two-sided ballot, and there's like judge retention on the back. Well, people say, I don't know who these people are, I don't feel comfortable voting for it. Well, you don't have to vote for that. Whatever you shade in on that ballot, you could go in there and just vote for one race, and we will count that race. So you don't have to fill out the whole ballot if you don't wish to. We will count whatever you vote for. Couple other things as far as polling locations. We've had a lot of questions about where to go vote in the last couple of years. So my office, along with our IT department at the county, have been working on this to find solutions to that. We've come up with a couple solutions. One of them is on the Clinton County website. You can find a page that you can enter your town, your address, and then hit the button and it will tell you where you need to go vote on election day. The other thing we've done is we've worked with a mobile app developer, and now we have a mobile app. It's called Where You Vote, Clinton County. You can download that on your Android device or your Apple mobile device, and you can use that, and it will tell you on election day. You just type in your address. You can help friends find out where they vote. You type in their address, and it'll tell them where to vote on election day.
I've looked as make sure you get the Clinton County one, because some of the counties are using the same the same type of app. Eventually, the same name. It must be the same company. Not a lot, but I've seen a few. So
yep. make sure
you get the Clinton County one.
It'll say where you vote, and then make sure it says after that Clinton County, because I think there are, I know for sure, two other, but I think three other counties in Iowa that are using the same basic app.
And polling hours, last question, polling hours on election day.
Yep, 7 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Thanks, Eric, for taking some time.
Thank you.